Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Happy Thanksgiving again. It's one of those years where typically we're reminded over and over at every holiday that things are different. We're reminded that we're in, under the pandemic restrictions that have been changing from time to time, but it can be difficult for some people, especially if you're alone this Thanksgiving. So I want to remind everybody, it has been said a number of times, that joy comes from the expression of gratitude. When it isn't just finding things to be grateful for, but acknowledging what we have to be grateful for. And I hope that you experience that this morning, that you would be open to the experience of God's joy infusing your life, infusing the situation that you're in, even the room that you're in today. And that would be my prayer for you. It was 2 days ago that the Tampa Bay Devil Rays defeated the New York Yankees to proceed to the American League Championship Series. And that is something for which we can be truly thankful this Thanksgiving season. And because I'm grateful every time the Yankees lose. Now, what was interesting, there was quite a few interesting things that happened in that game, but the very last out happened when the last batter for the Yankees was at the plate. And the pitcher, I believe, had struck out the first two batters, and it was the last batter, and he threw a pitch, and he made such strong contact to hit the ball. He hit the ball down the third baseline. It was the hardest hit ball of the game. It went off the bat at over 109 miles an hour, and with lightning reflex, the third baseman for the Tampa Bay Rays caught the ball in his glove. And what wasn't realized until afterwards, that the ball had actually ripped his glove. And it had ripped that little rubber or leather strap, and it was stuck in his glove. And I saw that the next day, and you can see a picture of him like running to his teammates, and his glove is open, and the ball is stuck there. And so, of course, I was looking at my phone first thing in the morning, and I showed Michelle that, because that's what we do. When we see something amazing, we share it with somebody else. We exclaim, we say, wow, that's neat. In fact, entire shows on the sports channels are devoted to like the top 100 plays of the day, or the month or the week or the year. And if you're into sports at all, you're captivated by these displays of athletic prowess. And it's amazing to watch. And we do this with all kinds of things. Most of the things that are not political or your food that are shared on social media are people doing amazing, crazy, impressive things. And what we do when we see those things, the natural response is to say something and share it. It's true with almost anything in life that's beautiful, spectacular, or impressive. It's part of what it means to be human, to respond spontaneously to that, to give it praise. I mean, we do this with art. You think of like the greatest paintings in the world, like the Mona Lisa. People travel around the world to gather in a room and stare at this painting and express their appreciation. Van Gogh's Starry Night. For me, it's more Monet's Impressionism. I love his stuff. And so when I look at it and I want to share it with other people and spread it around. It's the same thing with music, right? A piece of music can resonate with you so deeply that it brings up emotion and a spontaneous response, whether it's you know, Handel's Messiah or something from Bach or a movie soundtrack. For me, my favorite movie soundtrack is from The Mission or Radiohead, whatever. The music resonates with you and you respond. That's what concerts are about. People go to the live performances of these things and respond en masse in a religious-like experience. We don't just see it or hear it or listen to it, but we actually respond to it. That's natural. Even other expressions like dance or architecture, right? For me, architecture, one of my favorite buildings in the world is the Hagia Sophia Church in Istanbul, Turkey. Falling Water by Frank Lloyd Wright. And you see those things and we're just amazed and we respond. One thing that I've noticed, it's just an observation, is that we are so addicted to the novel in our culture that we share, we're impressed by trivially clever things. You know, somebody comes up with a way to express art and it's, I don't know, soup cans arranged. I'm not talking about the soup can painting, but, you know, making art out of pencil erasers or whatever. We go, oh, that's clever. It's neat. And it's different from like the great art. Maybe I'm just being snobby here. But our natural response with this stuff is to exclaim and to share. We're we're in our Abide series, and as I think Claudette mentioned first thing, and Mariah, we're talking about prayer as praise and thanksgiving, and it's neat that it landed on Thanksgiving Day. I want to share something with you today, and it's a little different. It's not sort of an explicit Bible lesson. It's not a literalistic impression and or interpretation of Scripture, and I think it's kind of neat. I'm not sure how to introduce this. I'm not sure whether it's more arrogant to say that I discovered this or God showed me, because both of those have their issues. Maybe it's just a really bad guess, but it's kind of neat. So this is something that I've noticed in my Bible reading recently. And I'm gonna go through Luke, a few different passages where there's one, I'm claiming it that it's symbolic, that happens throughout the book, certainly near the beginning and near the end. And I think that might be significant. So the first thing is in Luke 3, verse 8. And John the Baptist is preaching, and people are coming to him for to be baptized as a symbol of repentance, as a symbol of turning to God. And John, he was kind of a harsh person. He came across kind of harsh. And he says, don't think that that to be people of God, to be the people that God is calling out to express his worship and fulfill his purpose in the world, don't think that you can do that just by claiming ancestorship from Abraham. So Abraham is the founding father of faith for the nation of Israel. He is the one who sets the stage for what it means to be one of God's children, the people who express worship to him, and the people that obey him, and the people that further his purposes. He says, just being of his lineage is not enough. He says in Luke 3, verse 8, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Now that's an odd statement, because stones are inert. There's no life in stones. And John is saying God has the power to transform the inert, the lifeless, into something with life, to something that expresses worship. Now, that's a passage that we just kind of read over and go, okay, whatever. Now, but I was reading that, and for some reason it stuck with me. And as I kept reading through Luke, I read, it was the next chapter, Luke 4. And we could do a whole sermon about Jesus' temptations when Jesus goes in the wilderness. But the first temptation is he's in the wilderness, he's been fasting for 40 days, and Scripture says he was hungry. Yeah, well, go figure. He's not eaten for 40 days. And it says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. That's interesting, because there's that inert thing again. And we've already read in the previous chapter that God says, John the Baptist said that God could transform stones into descendants of Abraham, the inert into the lifeful. And now the devil is tempting Jesus by saying you can provide for your needs by transforming a stone into what you need. I want to just take a step back. And again, this is a big picture symbolic look at it, because Jesus' purpose in part was to call out the people of God, to bring about God's family on earth out of people. And I think there's two parts to this. So the devil says to him, if you are the Son of God, that word if could better be translated since. So he's not challenging Jesus' identity. He's saying, because you are the Son of God, then you have the ability in you to do this, which confirms what John the Baptist said, to transform the inert into something that brings life. And Jesus says, no, Scriptures say people don't live by bread alone. He's saying that we need God's words. And we've spoken about this in this Abide series. What's interesting too is that the devil is saying, save yourself here. And it's echoed at Jesus' crucifixion, where Jesus is on the cross and his opponents, the religious leaders, say, hey, you saved others, save yourself. Take your mission into your own hands apart from self-sacrifice. This is loaded with symbolism. What's interesting too is that in Luke 11:11, when Jesus is talking to the people, he uses a interpretation tactic that was used for teaching, and it was, the idea was, here's an example that's a small example, and it points to a bigger reality. And the phrase they would use is, how much more? And Jesus says, if you being good parents, or you being like evil human beings, know how to be good to your children, if your child asks for bread, something to sustain you, you wouldn't give him a stone, something inert and lifeless. How much more does God care for you? I find it's really interesting when you pair that with Jesus following the Father's direction, according to the Spirit, in the wilderness, having the opportunity, he's surrounded by stones, lifeless stones, and he needs to eat. But he says the main thing we need to eat is God's words. Later on, when he says, if evil parents wouldn't give a child who's hungry stone instead of bread, he says, how much more will the Father not give you what you need? And Luke is very specific, his Spirit. And it's through God's Spirit that we receive life. Okay, so there's a couple of maybe really tenuous connections there. But I'm going to jump ahead to Luke 19. Luke 19, 38 to 40. Jesus is on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's about to fulfill his purpose, which is through his crucifixion, through his resurrection, creating the people of God on earth by which his Spirit would be given to anyone who puts their trust in him. And so as he's riding up this road, and it's uphill, he's surrounded by all of his Galilean disciples, the whole crowd, and they're praising him. And verse 38 of Luke 19 says, blessings on the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. But listen, some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, now listen to this, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. That the stones would be brought to life, the inert would be brought to life, to fulfill the responsibility of worshiping God. God's desire is for us as his followers to be the expressors of praise and worship to him. And then the last reference to a stone, these are all the references to stone in Luke. The last one is when the stone is rolled away at the grave and the resurrection is revealed. If you look at Matthew's version of this in Matthew 28 and read it carefully, it shows that when the women, the first witnesses came to the tomb, the stone had not yet been rolled away. And when they came, the stone is rolled away, not to show Jesus coming out of the grave, but to show that the grave is already empty, that Jesus has already been raised from the dead. And the removal of that inert stone reveals the life that God offers. Okay, so that's a real sort of speculative look at this symbol of this lifeless stone throughout the book of Luke. I'm going to come back to that. But we have a natural response to things that impress us. We say, wow, we share it with somebody else. And if that's true of somebody that, when we see somebody has climbed Mount Everest or somebody has set a new baseball record or somebody has done an incredible performance in the arts. If that's true of that, how much more does God deserve our response? Because everything we see in this world that's impressive is sort of like a small version of who God is. It's like God is the thing behind, not the thing, but the person behind anything impressive. God is the impressive one. God is the one that when we really consider him, when we really understand him, and as we increase in our understanding him, our natural response is to say, at its simplest, wow, to express praise, to express worship. Now, very, very quick definitions. To worship is to recognize somebody's worth. That's what the word really means. Certainly in the English language, it's a translation of the original Hebrew, but the concept is the same. You are worth whatever, and this is how I express it. Praise is specifically worth-ship, something's worth, expressed, whether it's expressed verbally or through posture. In medieval times and in first century times, people would bow as an expression of worth of somebody else. They would bow to them to say, you are worth this honor. And praise is when it's spoken or articulated through the arts. I believe that at some level, the highest purpose for the arts is to express the praise of God. We draw trajectory from the things that we admire and we express praise for on earth to the highest person that deserves it. And that's why we say we give God the highest praise. We've talked a lot in Abide about prayer, about communication with God, about having relationship with God, about hearing from him, getting direction from him, giving him our respect, or our requests. But part of prayer is praise, Thanksgiving. A significant part, because how can you not, when you understand who God is, how can you not express praise? Praise is both to telling God what is good about him as a natural response, it's a human response, and it's praise is about telling somebody else about how God is good. It's like our kids, right? Our kids require affirmation. We have to tell them what is good about them, and we also tell other people what's good about them. It's a natural response. Sometimes the best praise your kids can hear, and they need to hear it directly to them, but when they hear you telling somebody else about them, when they overhear that, that does a huge boost to their personal identity and their confidence. It's one reason that I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the phrase, and I understand the intent, but when people say all praise belongs to God, okay, but our children need some praise as well, right? And that's why I prefer the phrase, the highest praise, the best praise belongs to God, because he is the highest being worthy of praise. The highest praise. Okay, so what? Does God really require our affirmation? Does God have low self-esteem? Does God need an esteem boost like our kids do? This isn't about for God's sake. Giving praise to God is stepping into what it means to be human. Giving praise to God means acting out what we were created to do. That's why praise is a natural response. It's why praise comes naturally to us when we see something we're impressed with. Praise of God is for our benefit. He doesn't need it. But it's a manifestation of how we were created to be. Scripture says we were created in the image of God. And the image of God is a reflection of who he is. When we worship, when we praise, we're reflecting the goodness and greatness of God back to him and out to the world. That's what it does. I think sometimes we can be cynical, and I think we're cynical because we're too comfortable. In our culture, we have very few needs. Oh, yeah, we have needs like, you know, life isn't easy. But compared throughout history and compared to the rest of the world, we have a lot going for us. In 1999, I've said this many times, but in 1999, Michelle and I had the privilege of going to Jerusalem, to Israel, and we were doing one of our tours, and we were walking along. I don't remember all the details. We were walking along a path, and there was a hill that was full of sort of rubble being excavated. And our tour guide said, "Look at that thing there in the middle of the hill." He sort of described it. "You see that? Do you know what that is?" And I think some people might have had an idea, and they were afraid to say. And it looked like a stone bowl, but with a lid on it, with a hole. And he said, "That's a toilet." It was amazing. Like 2,000 years ago, they had a toilet. But the reality is they didn't have a toilet. Only the richest people had toilets. Only the wealthiest people had toilets. And I don't want to sound crass, and I don't want to sound like silly. But yesterday morning when I got up, I went to the bathroom, and I thought, "God, thank you for this toilet." And again, you might think that's kind of silly, but the reality is that without plumbing, without waste disposal, we would not be able to live the way we live in our country in the 21st century. We take it for granted. If it wasn't for plumbers, we wouldn't be able to handle the waste and disease control. We take it for granted. And there's so many things in our life that we take for granted until you've traveled overseas and you've done the hole in the ground toilet. I did that once. Now, it was a nice hole in the ground. It was porcelain. But there are people that live in places where there's open sewage or where it's a hole in the ground on a piece of wood or whatever. And we take this stuff for granted. And I think that, I'm not saying that, oh, we need to feel guilty or whatever, but have gratitude for the basics as well. When we really recognize, especially right now in a time of pandemic, in our difficulty, how much easier it is compared to other people around the world. This is not a motivation to feel guilty. It's a motivation to feel and express gratitude. So when we pray, we commune with God, we hear from God, we give him our requests. And prayer is relational communication. Now, relational communication means it's not just transactional. It's not just information and need. I've used the illustration before, but if I took my wife Michelle on a date and all we talked about were the issues in our family and the issues in our house that we had to overcome, it's not much of a date. Because so much better is the is the expression of adoration and admiration of one another. And there's two ways. We have to express love to a person in two areas. One, for what they've done and what they do. And the other one, just for who they are. Two aspects of prayer are, this came up in conversation with some of our young adults yesterday, or 2 days ago. Adoration is the expression of somebody's characteristics. Thanksgiving is the expression of gratitude towards what they have done. And both of those belong in our prayer. I read this quote just in this past week, and it just really resonated for me. It's from a book called Sacred Pathways by Gary Thomas. And I want you to really listen to this. I actually should have put it on the screen, but that's okay. Just listen carefully. There is one thing that each individual Christian can do that nobody else can. I want to make that a little more personal. There's one thing that each one of you can do that nobody else can. Give our personal love and affection to God. God can raise up plenty of evangelists, teachers, writers, and witnesses, but only I can give my personal love and affection to God. My spouse, pastor, or coworker can't do this for me. Only I can give God this love, a love he wants very much. God created you for relationship with him, and nobody else in the world can give him the expression of love from you. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can give him the praise and worship from you. Only you can do that. And praise of God opens up our ability to continue to hear from him, to be open to a revelation of more of him. To know him is to love him, and the more you know him, the more you love him. We have the choice on a daily basis to respond in worship to God or be like an inert rock that's lifeless. The most life a rock ever has is if it's fossilized. And my fear is that some of us, as we close up and become cynical, maybe we've once had life, and now we're just a fossilized expression of that. God wants to bring about his family on earth, his people who will express his praise, express his worship, express worship to him in obedience, and express worship to him in praise, and to fulfill his purposes in the world. And he's calling you to do that. If you feel like your life is like an inert rock, try finding areas of gratitude and expressing that. How do we do that? I've already mentioned, express praise to him, express gratitude to him for who he is. What does that mean? Well, God is all kinds of things. He's beautiful, he's powerful, he's faithful, he's a rescuer. Which one of those and more have you experienced in your life? Express, and by express, I don't just mean think about. I mean express it, say it, write it down, sing it. Express it in interpretive dance. If I would never do that, but maybe you would. Who he is, what are his characteristics, and thanksgiving, what he has done for you. And maybe you're not sure what that is. Maybe you need a reminder. He's created you. He's created you to love you and be in a love relationship with him. He's called you to be part of his family. He's rescued you from the bondage of sin and death. He's sanctifying you, making you more Christ-like. And he has a purpose to resurrect you to eternity with him. Those are a few little things. Not a little things, there are a few big things, but there's way more. When you think about it, when you spend time in contemplation of God, when you experience him in many ways, in worship, worship music, in Bible reading, in a walk out in the woods where you look around at creation, and you just, I had a youth member one time that said, I was looking out at the sunset, and this thought flashed through my mind, and I just thought, God, what a beautiful sunset. And all of a sudden, it was like I felt this warmth pass through me. And she said, is that worship? And I said, that's exactly what worship is. The expression of praise to God, and in her case, the immediate experience of him. Practically, list his character traits, list his attributes, list what he's done. This service started today with Pastor Claudette saying a psalm. And sometimes when we're not sure of the words, you can borrow the words of the psalms. You can say those out loud as praise to God. If you're more artistic, you can write a simple song, write a poem, paint a painting. There's all kinds of avenues of expression. And there's all different ways and personalities. Like sometimes people go, well, I'm not a sit there quiet and just sit there person. And some people are. But there's all kinds of ways that God has created you to express praise and worship to him. We're coming to a close, but every Sunday I get a text from Elena. So this is today's. I want to be able to easily give credit to God when I receive praise for doing something creative, but I think it can seem like rejecting the compliment. How can we accept that we've done something good while still crediting God for inspiring it? That's a great question. I love that. See, because this is what happens. Somebody gives you a compliment, and we feel like we're supposed to be humble, so we really can't take the compliment. And so we'll say something like, well, it wasn't me, it was God. And that sounds more humble, and it sounds more sanctified. And there's a downside to that. I heard a story once of somebody in a church, and it was a church where they would have people like perform, sing solos or whatever. And somebody said, they sang a song, and afterwards somebody said, I want to thank you for singing the song, it was really good. And they said, oh, it wasn't me. That was God. And that the first person said, oh, it wasn't that good. So here's how you respond to it. Somebody gives you a compliment, you go, I want to give God the credit. And all those other things, like unless you specifically feel led to point to God, just say thank you. It's just say thank you. If somebody pushes you on that, no, it was really amazing. It was like, you're just so amazing. Okay, then there may be the opportunity to say, listen, I wasn't born with this talent. It was given to me by God. And so at some level, we have to credit God. But to do anything more than just saying thank you when somebody just gives you a compliment, it can really seem sanctimonious. I'm not saying it's wrong, okay? I'm not saying it's wrong, but it can seem sanctimonious. And so we don't want to be that. Just say thank you. It's okay. It's okay to just say thank you. There are all kinds of ways to give credit to God in our lives for the things he blesses us with. But we don't have to make every expression of gratitude to people's compliments into a sermon. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't think I am. Maybe you've lived your life striving to be grateful and acknowledging the stuff around, but you've never given credit to the Most High God. Maybe you're not in relationship with the Most High God, and when you're not in relationship with him, you're missing something. And here's the thing, here's part of the thing you're missing. We don't have somebody to thank when the best things happen. We're not in a relationship with him. You know, I've heard stories of people on a plane, you know, on a plane that's going down, and something happens, and the plane doesn't go down, and the atheist has nobody to thank. And we were made to be worshipers. We were made to. That's why it comes so naturally to us. But there's something wrong when we worship what's too small. There's something wrong when the best gratitude we can express is toward created things rather than the Creator. And God wants you in relationship with him so your worship can be appropriate, but it also leads you to your proper identity and place in the world. And so how do you get there? How do you begin? How do you respond to the offer of the relationship that Jesus has for you? We say this every week. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit your need for God. And in this case, it's as simple as my gratitude expression has been way too small. My life has been lived too small. I know, I feel there's more, but I'm not getting there because your worship is too small. And God wants you in a relationship with him. So admit, my life has been too small. I want the life God has for me. And then B is belief. What is belief? It's a trust in the path and the process that Jesus has set out for you. So when Jesus went to his death on the cross, what he was doing is he was exposing the weakness of all the world's systems. He was exposing the weakness of our own self-destructive nature and bringing that to its death in his own body on the cross. It's a complicated idea, but and you don't have to understand it all. But he went through death to the other side and came out through resurrection at the end. And that's the path we follow. The decision is to follow in his footsteps, to trust that path and to trust him as the means by which we come into relationship with God. And then the C stands for commit. Totally jump into the path that he has for you, which means saying no to all of the small worship, no to the all the inappropriate ways of living, and saying yes to the Jesus path, saying yes to the opportunity that he has created to relationship with your Creator. And if you're here today, or if you're watching today, or if you're watching after today, and you're saying, I need that, it's as simple as saying a prayer, something like this. And I would welcome you to take my words and make them your own. You can repeat them or just say yes after every sentence. Pray something like this. Father in heaven, I thank you for inviting me into your family. And I want to say yes to you. I want to say yes to proper worship. I acknowledge that my life on my own is not enough. My trajectory is too low. My aim is too low. I want to be part of your family. And so I am trusting in Jesus' death that was on my behalf. I'm trusting in the life that he is offering. And I'm committing to follow in the footsteps that Jesus has laid out for me. Thank you, God, for welcoming me into your family. Amen. And if this is a decision you're making for the first time, I want to challenge you to connect with us at Crosslands. And the best way to do that is go to crosslands.live and click the Follow Jesus button. And this is an entry point into a whole new spiritual life. And we want to help you with that. This is not something you can do alone. We need help with that. We are called to walk together as God's family. And so give us your contact information there on crosslands.live, and we'll get a hold of you and give you some next steps as we walk forward together in worship, the highest worship, the highest praise of the God that most deserves it. We're going to close the service, and when we do, we leave the stream running so you can spend time doing prayer business with God. And I would encourage you in this time to write down things for which you are grateful. Write down attributes of his that he deserves your adoration, your admiration for. Spend time in worship of God. Express it. Say it out loud. Write it down. Sing a song. Express it. That's what you're made for. To truly live as a human being is to respond to God's character and respond to his actions with gratitude, with appreciation, with admiration and adoration. Without praise, we are like inert stones. Without the right expression of worship to the God who deserves it, our lives collapse into dryness and deadness. We're called to live worship in relationship with the God who loves us. Let me just close quickly in prayer today. Father, I thank you that you have called us into relationship with you. And at the very least, we say, wow, you are amazing. Father, may we increasingly respond to you with gratitude, with worship. May we learn to be better worshipers according to our personalities that you have made us, according to your family as your sons and your daughters. May we express and reflect who you are back to you and out to the world, and so live out our call as your people, as your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.